You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, November 9th. Time now for the Daily Lectionary, underwritten by Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Our guest today, Pastor Zachary DeArmond from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Pastor DeArmond, welcome.
Thank you, Andy. Good to be here.
Glad to have you as our guest this morning, studying God's Word in Matthew chapter 25. Tell us about your congregation and your community, Redeemer Lutheran Church, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Where would we find Manitowoc?
Manitowoc is on the shores of Lake Michigan. We're about half an hour south of Green Bay and half an hour north of Sheboygan. So a great medium-sized community, a wonderful congregation. I've been here for about 5.5 years. This is my first congregation out of the seminary, and some wonderful things going on here. The last year we celebrated 75 years of Word and Sacrament ministry here at Redeemer. We have a great, wonderful preschool that is second to none that recently celebrated 25 years of ministry. And we also have a Hmong language congregation. Our congregation welcomed a number of Hmong families and sponsored them during the Vietnam War. And currently we have a Hmong pastor and a Hmong language congregation that worships about 40 people a weekend. So it's great to see those families as well, and now having a second generation of people as well who were born in the United States.
Well, thanks be to God for the ministry of Redeemer and also the outreach to new neighbors, to that Hmong community as well, proclaiming that good news of Jesus. We are in Matthew chapter 25 today, verses 1 through 13. What would you like for us to know as we prepare to study this?
Well, as we look at this particular reading from Matthew, and of course, any reading, it's important to look at the context within the book. And I especially like to look at the liturgical context within the church here as well. So as we look at Matthew 25 from the liturgical context of the church, we are going to have this reading actually almost 1 year from today. We'll find this reading in the Sundays following All Saints Day that lead us into the season of Advent, where we prepare for the coming of our Lord on Christmas. And this is the first Advent, but now as post-ascension Christians, we wait for the second coming of Christ, the second Advent. And for those in the church, we are like those Old Testament saints who are waiting in anticipation for that first Advent. And this is sort of a theme that we are seeing in Matthew 25 and really the chapters surrounding it as well. Within this reading, we find ourselves in what we would call Holy Week now, and Jesus has made his entry into Jerusalem, and he's preparing for his passion. And these people who are hearing and listening to our Lord speak, they are soon going to witness his death, but they're also going to witness his resurrection and ascension also. And Jesus instructs these original hearers to be vigilant, to take comfort, because he is coming back. This is not the end of the story. So for those of us 2,000 years later who hear this story, who read it, that is our same comfort and hope as well, that the story is not over. He is coming back, and no matter what we see or witness in our world, no matter how much strife we have, Christ is still in charge and coming back.
Very good. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13. We're studying with Pastor Zachary DeArmond from Redeemer Lutheran Church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. If you have a question or a comment on today's text, give us a call or an email, 314-821-0850 in St. Louis. Toll free in North America, 1-800-730-2727. You can email us, kfuo@kfuo.org. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at the first verse. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. Let's pause there before we go much further in the text. So the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Most parables begin this way. The kingdom of heaven is like or will be like, right?
Yes, absolutely. And especially as you've been going through Matthew, I believe, in your lectionary study, this is a theme that is really impossible to miss and this is really going to jump out to you as a big Matthean theme, as the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, this phraseology is used nearly 50 times in this gospel. And you know, it shows that the life and the teachings of Jesus is to fulfill God's plan to reign and to rule over his people, and obviously a different type of reign and rule that Israel was even expecting and probably that most people in our world today would even imagine. But in verse 1, and really the theme of this reading, there's this beautiful imagery of marriage being used here with the groom, Christ, coming to meet his bride, the church. And we see this other places throughout the scriptures as well, in the Old and the New Testament, with this marriage imagery. And it is definitely one of, personally, my favorites. And it's one of the most profound images we see in the scriptures between God and us, as he is this loving, perfect husband. And now he is inviting us into this most intimate of relationships, where he promises to love us steadfastly. He promises to sustain us, to provide for us, and even lay down his life for us. So when we see our Christian relationship and what the final result will be in terms of marriage with God, it shows us how much our God desires to be with us through Jesus Christ. And sort of in a context as well, we see in this parable a little bit about Israelite weddings, that this groom is dressed in his wedding garments, and when the time for the wedding comes, the bride and her attendants would be there to meet the groom. Prior to this, though, the groom would be preparing a place for he and his new bride to live. And when we think of it that way, in terms of Jesus being our groom, that is what our bridegroom Jesus is doing right now. He is preparing that place for us to live with him in his kingdom when he brings us to himself eternally. And this is really a promise that all Christians should take comfort in, that when Christ calls us out of our graves upon his return, or if we are still left on earth, we will see him face to face. And while this is a comfort, it is also a cautionary tale as well, that those without faith, those foolish virgins, as they're described in this passage, they are going to see Jesus as well, and they are going to witness him face to face.
The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. It's probably hard for us, if we have very little biblical literacy, to understand this phrase of 10 virgins who took their lamps. What are they doing?
They're preparing. They are preparing for this wedding feast. It's sometimes in our modern context, it seems like maybe the brides do a lot of planning for the wedding and getting everything straightened out in terms of the reception and whatnot. But in this context, the groom does the great majority of the work, and these virgins, these are her attendants. They are preparing her. They are preparing this bride and waiting for the time comes when the party is ready. The ceremony is ready. It is complete, and the groom has now come to take the bride to himself, and they will now be united.
5 of them were foolish, and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps.
Yeah, as we see the division in this group of virgins and apply it as those who would be seeking and anticipating the Lord's return, we are reminded, unfortunately, that there are plenty who will not be prepared for this. And this is true today, that there are plenty of people who describe themselves as Christians. And, you know, even the great majority of Americans still self-describe as Christians, but our congregations would tell us a different story on Sunday mornings. So even though we may self-describe and identify as Christians, we live so many times, we think and act as if this isn't going to happen, that Christ isn't going to return someday. And this contrast between wisdom and foolishness is one also that we see a lot in Hebrew poetry and wisdom literature. If you go back and read the Proverbs and the Psalms, this is going to be an imagery that is definitely seen. And when you get into verse 3, we see this juxtaposition of wise and foolish. The original hearers of this more than likely would find this astonishing, that there are people with no oil. This simply would not happen. It would be like you and I leaving the house this morning and not realizing that we have not put any clothes on. it may not match. It may not be the best thing we have, but you would never leave the house without clothes, and these people would never not have oil. And Jesus uses what is really a crazy, unheard-of scenario to show how foolish we can really be spiritually when we act this way. And this oil to us represents a faith that is continually sustained. And for us in the church, that is sustained by the sacraments and God's Word. And these are the things. This is why we have the church. It is to help us endure and to be strengthened until Christ returns and calls us to himself.
So this is far more tragic than I forgot to charge my phone.
Right, absolutely.
As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept.
Yeah, and as we look at this and the meaning of this parable, you had a lot of early Christians believe that Christ was coming back very soon. So even perhaps as early as 70 AD at the destruction of the temple. And Jesus suggests that in the chapter previous to this, that the eschaton, his return, would be delayed. So verse 5 tells us that both the wise and the foolish ones did fall asleep. If these wise ones had stayed awake, they would have been guilty also of maybe not waking up the foolish. So the church fathers interpreted this sleep as death, which is unavoidable because most people will not be around because of the Lord's delay. Most of us will be in our graves. And this is really a good interpretation that even the godly will become negligent and careless at times while looking for the coming of Jesus. And this type of interpretation would allow Jesus to condone a certain degree of carelessness in in believers. But this is actually contrary to his instructions and warning to always be prepared. So this drowsiness or sleeping that we see is merely match the groom's unexpected delay. Both groups of virgins had done all they had considered necessary for meeting the groom if he had come at once, or if he had delayed even longer than he did. The preparation of these two groups would have been made the same. Some would have oil and others would have been out. But this sleep pictures the security and assurance which the wise virgins awaited the groom. They knew they were ready for his coming, and that they could add nothing more to their preparation. And with these wise virgins here, they not only have oil, but they have extra. I mean, these people seem really prepared, and it's that question of how much is enough faith, and that's kind of a loaded question, really, with no answer. We see the apostles even ask Jesus to increase our faith, Lord, And how often do we need our faith fostered? And really the easy question to that is, and how much oil do we need, is continually. We are to continually be in his word. We are to continually receive the gifts of Christ in the Eucharist. And as Luther tells us, we are to remember our baptisms daily, that the first thing we are to do in the morning is to wake up, make the sign of the cross, remember who we are and who owns us. We need that oil. We need faith for our journey as we wait for our groom to come.
But at midnight there was a cry, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps.
Yeah, this is it right here, isn't it? This is the climax. We see that this isn't just the call to be prepared virgins, but for the prepared virgins, I should say. But this is the call to those who have fallen asleep as well, that all will be awoken, see the great and awesome work of the groom, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the virgins, they do arise with great haste. It's like the leaping calves we see in the book of Malachi, that this is going to be a quick thing. This is going to be an exciting thing. And they all think that they are ready, but those who only have those wicks trimmed so that they are good and bright, those are the ones who are ready to go. And it's an interesting language that Matthew uses right here, or I should say our Lord uses in Matthew, that the word trimmed in the original languages can mean to make beautiful, And that's a very profound statement, that for those who die in the faith, how beautiful is everything that is made perfect in the new heavens and the new earth, that as sin and death takes its toll on our lives and in our world, on the last day when we see Jesus, everything will be made beautiful. Everything is perfect in the new heavens and the new earth, and that's a wonderful and great comfort for those who have fallen asleep in the faith.
We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue our study in Matthew chapter 25. We're studying with Pastor Zachary DeArmond of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. We'll be back in just a moment, right here on His Time.
Week for Worldwide KFUO is November 14th through 18th.
Your chance to become a first-time day sponsor and support the worldwide ministry of KFUO. Throughout the week, you'll hear about the benefits of becoming a day sponsor in the remaining days of 2016 and into 2017, as well as other giving opportunities. Embrace the future of Worldwide KFUO and listen during Rally Week, November 14th through November 18th on AM 850 and online at KFUO.org.
Worldwide KFUO.
After reading a thoughtful book, or even part of it, do we not many times want to tell someone else what we've read? Do we not many times wish we could do this with the author? This is exactly what we do on Book Talk, Fridays at 2 p.m., streaming online and archived thereafter for your 24/7 consumption.
Friday afternoon at 2 on KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. We're studying the Daily Lectionary with Pastor Zachary DeArmond of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. We're in Matthew chapter 25 today and picking up at verse 8 here in just a moment. Pastor, anything else up through verse 6 before we go on to the next segment?
I think what we have seen so far is really just the great comfort that we should be taking in all of this. Sometimes when this particular reading, this parable is seen and heard, it can seem like a very scary thing, but for those who have faith to realize that Christ is coming back, this is a wonderful and great comfort. It's almost very appropriate, too, that the day after an election, I know there's a lot of strong and mixed feelings on every side this morning, and to realize that everything that happens in this world is a temporary thing. All of these things fade away, and what our groom right now is doing, he is preparing this place for us. Jesus is preparing an eternal place, and as we go back to this great theme of Matthew, that it's the kingdom of God, it's the kingdom of heaven that's being prepared, this is a kingdom that is different than anything that we can even imagine this side of heaven. So take comfort, take hope that the king is coming, he is coming to bring you to himself, and this kingdom will not end, and it will be a perfect kingdom, and as it shows here, this is going to be a beautiful kingdom that we will be a part of.
So put not your hope in the election of a nation's president, but put your hope in the election in which God chooses you in Christ Jesus. Find your comfort in that election.
That's 100% correct, and I think a lot of pastors and really a lot of Christians should be spreading that message, and it's not because of any particular candidate or party. This should be something that we preach and that we talk about day in and day out until Christ does call us to himself, because he doesn't have term limits. This is an eternal kingdom. So absolutely, today is a day to rejoice because of our baptisms, because we are being called to our king and to our groom.
God elected you. God chose you in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Verse 8, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves. We're out of oil. Give us some of yours.
Right. Yeah. Give me some help. Especially maybe in our 21st century context as Americans as well, we're not always quick to ask for help. We like we're a proud people. We like to do things on our own and by ourselves. And sometimes that's not always the best thing. There are plenty of times when we should be asking for help, asking for support. If you've ever, you know, for those who've ever been part of the church, especially those who work in the church, these places run on volunteers and support. So no one should be afraid to ask for help. And that includes help me in teaching me the faith and fostering my faith. However, in terms of our saving faith, no one can be aided by others' faith and merits. We are simply justified by the merits of Jesus Christ alone, and nobody else can do that for us. We have to trust alone in his mercy, that nobody else can do this for us, no matter how great of mercy somebody shows for us. It's all about the mercy of Christ. And we see in verse 8 something completely different in the fact that they are begging for oil. They are seeking help. They are looking for this saving faith to be handed to them. And we don't know why these foolish virgins ignored the care of their lamps, but they did. And we have to understand that the foolish actions have no sensible explanation, that spiritual recklessness cannot explain himself and explain itself, and that's what's happened here with these foolish people. They have completely ignored their lives of faith, and as we bring it back to ourselves as Christians today, once again, we cannot afford to live our lives as if Christ, as if his church does not matter, because we do not know the day or the hour. And looking at verse 9, every believer has no more spiritual grace and power than what they need for themselves. We can't divide the grace that Jesus pours out to us. And unfortunately for these foolish virgins, they are trapped. And when it's too late, we resort to impossible appeals in vain. And the wise virgins only have the suggestion that the foolish virgins go out and buy oil. And that's and even there, there's an implication that the wise bought their oil ahead of time, because what's ironic about this oil, this faith, if you will, is that it can't be purchased, at least by those who wait for the groom. It's the groom, Jesus himself, who purchases us with his own blood on the cross. And the tragedy is that it is too late. The groom is here, and we really begin to see this parable play itself out here as it portrays Christians who have foolishly let their days pass without securing grace for faith and a new life to come in Jesus Christ.
Verse 10, and while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered, truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour. So while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut.
Yes, these foolish virgins make a frantic effort to buy after it's too late. But let's think about this in a very practical way. This isn't like our modern times. If you and I are up at, you know, midnight, 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning, there's probably a Walmart or a 7-Eleven or some 24-hour place where we can buy anything we would need for this body and life. Things are different 2,000 years ago. There's no way these foolish virgins are going to find a place to purchase oil at this late hour. They are stuck. So while the virgins are out futilely searching for oil, the groom has come for the virgins who are prepared, and the wedding is going to begin in haste. And the groom has now come to unite himself to his bride, and he is coming to take her to the place that he has prepared for them to dwell with each other. And this is our joy. This is our joy and hope for those who believe and who have faith that Jesus is doing the same for us at this very moment. He is preparing that place, and there's such a great gospel message right here that the door is always open. The door of repentance is there just look back to the scriptures. It was there for King David. I mean, David was an adulterer and a murderer, and the door of repentance and forgiveness was still there. St. Peter denies our Lord three times on the night of his passion, and yet the grace and forgiveness for St. Peter was there. So the grace and forgiveness of Jesus flows out of the door, but once this life ends, that door is closed, and the foolish virgins can testify to this fact. And you look at these last two verses, the parable and reality kind of meet each other. It's still a parable when the foolish virgins come and try to enter the marriage feast after trying to buy oil. They have despised, though, grace and thought that they could enter into the glory of the wedding without the grace of the groom. And they add to the ridiculousness with their demand to be admitted. In contrast, look at the wise ones who came by grace. There was no shout. There was no demand. There was no pleading. They were simply let in. And in verse 12, the harsh reality begins. Many will carelessly let the day of grace pass until it is too late. And the unfaithfulness of these virgins to the groom has now cost them everything. Because once again, even those who self-describe as Christians, the cost will be everything when the groom Jesus comes to unite himself to his bride eternally.
Looking at verse 12, we had a question from Cheryl earlier. She called in about verse 12. Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. How is it that we know that the Lord does know us? How is it that we know that the Lord knows you?
Oh, out of his great love. I mean, he has called us in our baptisms. He has promised us these gifts, and really, even by his death on the cross. I mean, what other great joy can we have that we know that Jesus had such a great love for us? And we have to remember his divinity, that he comes down, he humbles himself, he takes on our sinful flesh, and he does it for each and every one of us, and this is our great joy, to know that the perfect God comes into an imperfect world to become man, to take on our flesh, to take on the things that really are should be expected of us, but he does it all for us. It's that great exchange, if you will, that he does everything that we should be doing, and we get all of the glory. He descends into hell. He defeats Satan. And really, because of our sin, these are the things that should be coming to us. But out of his great love, he promises them to us instead.
Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.
Yeah, it's pretty clear right there what Jesus is saying, that we are to be constantly watching. No one knows, not throughout all of time, and no one has ever known. And going all the way back to the first century, and it's after Christ, people were guessing times. When is he coming? When is this going to happen? And it hasn't been for the last two millennia. It wasn't on 12-12-12. I remember back in May of 2011, when I graduated from the seminary down in St. Louis, there were these billboards. Somebody, I think, out in California predicted that the world was going to end, and some of me and my classmates joked because the day that the world was going to end was the day after graduation from the seminary. And we thought, well, geez, that'd be a real shame if we put in all these 4 years of hard work and Christ decided to come back. I guess we would be thankful, but yeah, that was a lot of work, though.
Some of us thought it was when the Cubs won the World Series.
Well, I have to tell you, I have been a huge Cubs fan for the last 30-some-odd years, so I thought the world was going to end too, but I was very glad that it wasn't a dream or anything like that.
Or just before they won the World Series.
Right. But you know, when we say neither the day or the hour, this isn't to be something that we should be panicking on over as well. If we are Christians, if we have the faith, live in that confidence, live in that hope that yes, Christ is coming back, but we can live joyfully in his grace, and knowing that no matter what we see in the world, no matter what type of pain, sickness, anything that we are dealing with, He invites us back. He invites us into the church to receive those gifts, to have our oil refilled and refreshed once again by remembering our baptisms, by hearing those words of absolution, by taking his very body and blood for the forgiveness of our sins to strengthen our faith, that we can then go out and continue to live our lives, but as wise virgins whose lamps are full, waiting for a groom to call us home.
Looking over this parable, looking over this text as a whole today, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 13?
I think this last verse here tells the whole thing, but once again, just remembering of the great, really intimate personal relationship that God desires to have through us, with us through Jesus Christ, that because of his great love for his son and his great love for us, we will be entered into that perfect marriage someday. And once again, especially on a post-election day, knowing that no matter what happens in this world, good, evil, anything else in between, Christ is coming back, that everything that we experience is temporary. Everything that we experience is simply an earthly thing, but when Christ returns, everything will be made beautiful. The new heavens and the new earth will be the place that we are united forever. We will be at the marriage feast that does not end, and until that time, he still promises us the great gift of his church, where we simply see a preview of these things, and that's really the wonderful gift of the Lord's Supper as well, as we remember that, especially this past weekend as it was All Saints Day. We remember that with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, that every time that we gather around the altar of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we are getting a preview of heaven. We are getting a preview of the marriage feast that is to come.
Thanks be to God. Our guest today, Pastor Zachary DeArmond of Redeemer Lutheran Church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Pastor DeArmond, thanks so much for being our guest, helping us study in Matthew chapter 25.
Thank you very much, Andy.
It was a privilege to study God's Word with you. God bless you and all the saints there at Redeemer Lutheran Church in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Coming up in just a few minutes, Witness Wednesday. We'll revisit a Witness Wednesday with Pastor Wood. He's traveling. We'll talk with him again next week as well. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO.